Good morning and welcome to St. Luke's Church. Thank you for gathering with us today to make Eucharist.
As you are able, please stand and join us in singing hymn number 414 as found in your bulletin.
Blessed be God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
And blessed be God, now and forever. Amen.
Almighty God, to you all hearts are open, all desires known, and from you no secrets are hid. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name through Christ our Lord.
Thank you.
Lord be with you. Let us pray. O God, the protector of all who trust in you, without whom nothing is strong, nothing is holy, increase and multiply upon us your mercy, that with you as our ruler and guide, we may so pass through things temporal that we lose not the things eternal. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen.
A reading from the second book of Kings. A man came from Baal Shalisha, bringing the food from the first fruits to the man of God. 20 loaves of barley and fresh ears of grain in his sack. Elisha said, "Give it to the people and let them eat." But his servant said, "How can I set this before 100 people?" So he repeated, "Give it to the people and let them eat. For thus says the Lord, they shall eat and have some left." He set it before them. They ate and had some left, according to the word of the Lord. The word of the Lord. A reading from the letter of Paul to the Ephesians. For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth takes its name. I pray that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant that you may be strengthened in your inner being with power through his Spirit, and that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith as you are being rooted and grounded in love. I pray that you may have the power to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, so that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now, to him who by the power at work within us is able to accomplish abundantly far more than all we can ask or imagine, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. The word of the Lord.
Let us attend to the Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John. Jesus went to the other side of the Sea of Galilee, also called the Sea of Tiberias. A large crowd kept following him because they saw the signs that he was doing for the sick. Jesus went up the mountain and sat down there with his disciples. Now the Passover, the festival of the Jews, was near. When he looked up and saw a large crowd coming toward him, Jesus said to Philip, "Where are we to buy bread for these people to eat?" He said this to test him, for he himself knew that what he was going to do. Philip answered him, "6 months' wages would not buy enough bread for each of them to get a little." One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, "There is a boy here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. But what are they among so many people?" Jesus said, "Make the people sit down." Now there was a great deal of grass in the place, so they sat down, about 5,000 in all. Then Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed them to those who were seated, so also the fish, as much as they wanted. When they were satisfied, he told his disciples, "Gather up the fragments left over, so that nothing may be lost." So they gathered them up, and from the fragments of the 5 barley loaves left by those who had eaten, they filled 12 baskets. When the people saw the sign that he had done, they began to say, "This is indeed the prophet who is to come into the world." When Jesus realized that they were about to come and take him by force to make him king, he withdrew again to the mountain by himself. When evening came, his disciples went down to the sea, got into a boat, and started across the sea to Capernaum. It was now dark, and Jesus had not yet come to them. The sea became rough because a strong wind was blowing. When they had rowed about 3 or 4 miles, they saw Jesus walking on the sea and coming near the boat, and they were terrified. But he said to them, "It is I, do not be afraid." Then they wanted to take him into the boat, and immediately the boat approached the land toward which they were going. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
All of today's readings are about abundance, and we have trouble with abundance. We have trouble accepting abundance. Our tendency as human beings, when someone talks to us about the abundance of our lives, is to say, "Yes, but." We have trouble with abundance. It's difficult for us to really get the abundance of our lives. It's been said that you can divide the spiritual life into 3 parts: life, life abundant, and life eternal. Life is just simply accepting the life that you have. Accepting the life that you have and realizing it's my life and it's a gift and it just is. Many people don't ever get past that stage and struggle their whole lives just to accept the life that they have. Life abundance is when you begin to realize that despite particular circumstances, your life really is abundant. That's what today's readings are all about. And that at some point, we begin to realize that we have to let go of it all. And we trust and believe that life is eternal and that we can let go of it all and be okay. life eternal. So, in that schema, life abundant is a real challenge for us. And it's a challenge for us because of often the way that we think. The patterns of our thinking are often what get in the way of us experiencing and accepting and welcoming the idea that life is abundant. That's where we have challenges. Think for a minute. I've talked with you before about this. When Western civilization began to crumble, when Rome fell and thereafter, the monasteries really saved a lot of important stuff for us. The monasteries gathered in whatever knowledge they could get a hold of, and they preserved it. So if they found a book, didn't matter what the book was. It could be a book of geometry, it could be a book of grammar, it could be a book of whatever. And it would go to the scriptorum, and the monks would make copies of the book, they would write them out, and they would go in the library. And the monasteries saved all that stuff without necessarily analyzing it. They just saved it. By the time the Middle Ages begin to emerge, there's a movement in the church to pull all that stuff out of the libraries, get it together, get it right, get it in order, analyze it, figure it all out. We call that the Scholastic Movement. And that movement led the way to, eventually, centuries later, the Scientific Enlightenment. And the Scientific Enlightenment led to many of the things that we enjoy today. Medicine's ability to conquer so many diseases and problems. Many of the other blessings of our life come from that. There's nothing wrong with that. It did, however, establish a pattern of thinking. And that pattern of thinking was divide things up into their parts. And what happens is we human beings don't just divide things up into their parts because we can't keep our emotions out of it. So we divide things up into their parts, and then we don't stop there and look at the wonderful complexity of life and everything in it. But instead, we start to evaluate each little part as good or bad. And then, 9 times out of 10, if you're like me, you obsess on the part you call bad. Right? We obsess on that part. And that's the moment when it becomes hard to experience life as abundant. Once we've divided life up into parts and begun to obsess on the bad parts, that's when it gets hard to experience life's abundance. And it's so easy to do, isn't it? It's so easy to do. So my assertion to you is not that we should throw out the Scientific Enlightenment or stop dividing things into parts, because many good things have come from all of that, and it's a good process. What I would assert to you is, as spiritual people, it's not the only process. That as spiritual people, sometimes what we need to do is step back and look at things as a whole. Sometimes we need to challenge our ability to focus on one little part, get anxious about it, and perseverate over it. That's a challenge. And part of what these lessons invite us to do is to ask ourselves every now and then, have I pulled back and looked at the whole? Or am I caught worrying about one little part? If we look at the gospel that we heard today, it is packed full of stuff. And in total, the text is about who Jesus is. Whenever John's gospel says this was a sign, what sign means is that it's an episode, an incident, a story that points to who Jesus is. And to understand that, we have to see the story in all of its complexity. As I was thinking about the story this week, I remembered a family that I worked with when I was a hospice chaplain. It was an Italian family, and the matriarch of the family was the hospice patient, or the patriarch of the family was the hospice patient. And he was in his room, and the matriarch of the family, his wife, I never saw her in his room. She was always in the kitchen. And there was always food. And whenever I walked into his room to see him, he'd say, "Chaplain, good to see you. Gee, yeah, go tell my wife to give you some food." Every time. And it made me think about how in days past and in the ancient world, feeding your family was literally a work that took all day long. When nothing was prepackaged and you had to make everything, feeding the family was a huge job. And one of the things that meant was that if you were going to take a day to go hear a teacher, you had to plan ahead. All the people who went to see Jesus had to plan ahead about what they were going to do about food. Because feeding the family took all day long. And then when you miraculously feed someone, or when you just in good hospitality feed someone, you are liberating a lot of time and effort for them. That's important. It's important to recognize that. Often meals show up in Scripture as occasions of communion and communication between the divine and the human. And part of why meals are liberating, part of why meals are spiritual, is just that. They free us up from a lot of hard work. In addition to that, meals are a part of God's liberation. Liberation always is connected to a meal. From the Passover Seder to Holy Communion, liberation has to do with meals. Freeing people. One of the ways you control a people, one of the ways you enslave a people, is by controlling their food or their access to food. Food and meals are always a political thing, and there's a political element to this story too. Herod Antipas had taken over the fields and was taxing the grains because he wanted to make a profit, and he wanted to Rome, and he wanted to be the bread baker for Rome. He wanted Galilee and the surrounding communities that he controlled to be the places where bread was produced to feed the whole empire, and he wanted to make a profit on it by taxing the grain. And so when Jesus goes into the middle of the field and feeds the 5,000, it is, among other things, a political statement. "Hey, Herod, tax this, turkey." It was a political move on his part. An act of political theater. So this feeding, it's Eucharistic, right? We see the Eucharistic elements in the story. Those are the easiest ones to spot. Giving thanks for the bread and sharing it with everyone, right? So it's Eucharistic. It's political. It's about family life and the liberation from the challenge and the hard work of feeding your family. It's all of those things together. And all of those meanings together, all of those layers of meaning point to who Jesus is. And we could focus on just one of them, certainly. But if we focus on just one of them, we gain some things and we lose some things. And one of the things that we lose is the abundance of the text itself. It's important to recognize that. It's important to recognize that life is abundant. Aside from our particular circumstances, any one of us, life is abundant. The world is actually, despite all the brouhaha in our culture and our world right now, the world is actually getting better. More people are healed of more diseases. More people are fed than ever before. We are making advances. We're also messing up. Guess what? We're human. We do that. We make advances and we mess up. But it's when we get caught in the local challenges that we forget that on the whole, God loves this world. We forget that on the whole, the Holy Spirit is the driver of history. We forget on the whole that God is wildly in love with you, every one of you. We forget that. We lose track of the abundance because we divide things up into parts. We label the parts as good and bad, and then we obsess anxiously about one of the bad parts. And we lose the abundance in the process. So the challenge presented by this text, the challenge for today is, can you catch yourself chopping your life up into bits and pieces? Can you catch yourself deciding which piece is a problem and obsessing over it? Can you catch yourself when you lose sight of the abundance that is life and God's love for life? Because sometimes we have to look at the big picture. And the big picture is always, always the abundant love of God.
As you are able, please stand and face east. The direction of sunrise and a symbol of the resurrection as we recite the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God,
the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became truly human. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again, in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
In peace we pray to you, Lord God.
for all people in their daily life and work.
For our friends, and for those who are so far alone.
We pray for Donald, our president, and for the legislative and judicial branches of our government. We pray for Stephen, Courtney, James, Joe, Nathan, and Sarah, who serve in our armed forces, and for all people everywhere.
For this community, the nation, and the world.
For justice, freedom, and peace.
We pray for those who are addicted and those in recovery. We pray for the sick, especially Mike, Stephen, Ruthie, Ron, George, Harlan, Hope, Charlotte, Dan, Dorothy, Carolyn, Christine, Ken, Carol, Mary, Caitlin, Helen, Jessica, Rusty, Pete, Linda, Sid, and Betsy. We pray for victims of natural disaster.
For all who are in danger, sorrow, or any kind of trouble.
For those who minister to the sick, the friendless, and the needy.
We pray for the peace and unity of the Church of God.
For all who proclaim the gospel and all who seek the truth. For Michael, our presiding bishop, and Wayne, our bishop. For Randall, our priest, Greg, our deacon, and Michael in deacon's formation. For all bishops and other ministers, for all who serve God and His church.
For the special needs and concerns of this congregation, this praying especially for the local challenges of Portage, Kalamazoo, and our surrounding communities, for the vibrancy of our witness to Christ's love, and for the courage and capacity to serve in Christ's name.
Hear us, Lord,
for your mercy is great.
We thank you, Lord, for all the blessings of this life, for those who are celebrating birthdays, Larry, Howard, Jan, Ariel, Jennifer, Hannah, Mary, Glenn, Bob, Lindsay, Bill, for those who are celebrating wedding anniversaries, Toby and Eric, Elizabeth and James, Colleen and Steve, Lori and Brandon, Florence and Joel. For those who are celebrating baptismal anniversaries, Norma, David, and Morgan.
We will exalt you, O God, our King.
Praise your name forever and ever.
We pray for all who have died, that they may have their place in your eternal kingdom, remembering especially Clifford and Ken.
Lord, let your loving kindness be upon them.
And put their trust in you. Loving Jesus, protect and sustain us with your hand. Open the door of your love that, sealed with your wisdom, we may be free to serve you with joy.
Amen.
Let us confess our sins against God, our neighbors, and ourselves. Most merciful God,
we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done, and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry and humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us. That we may delight in your love and walk in your ways.
Almighty God, have mercy on us. Forgive us all our sins through the grace of Jesus Christ. Strengthen us in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep us in eternal life. Amen. The peace of the Lord be always with you.
And also with you.
Offer to God a sacrifice of praise, that is the fruit of lips that acknowledge the divine name. But do not forget to do good and to share what you have, for such offerings are pleasing to God.
All things come of thee, O Lord,
and of thine own have we given thee.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give God. And pray.
praise you and we bless you, holy and gracious God, source of life abundant. From before time you made ready the creation. Your Spirit moved over the deep and brought all things into being. Sun, moon, and stars, earth, winds, and waters, and every living thing. You made us in your image and taught us to walk in your ways. But we rebelled against you and wandered far away. And yet, as a mother cares for her children, you would not forget us. Time and again you called us to live in the fullness of your love. And so this day we join with saints and angels in the chorus of praise that rings through eternity, lifting our voices to magnify you as we sing. Holy and living God, to deliver us from the power of sin and death and to reveal the riches of your grace, you looked with favor upon Mary, your willing servant, that she might conceive and bear a son, Jesus, the Holy Child of God. Living among us, Jesus loved us. He broke bread with outcasts and sinners, healed the sick, and proclaimed good news to the poor. He yearned to draw all the world to himself, yet we were heedless of his call to walk in love. Then the time came for him to complete upon the cross the sacrifice of his life and to be glorified by you. On the night before he died for us, Jesus was at table with his friends. He took bread, gave thanks to you, broke it, and gave it to them and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." As supper was ending, Jesus took the cup of wine. Again, he gave thanks to you, gave it to them, and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for you and for all for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do this for the remembrance of me." Now gathered at your table, O God of all creation, and remembering Christ crucified and risen, who was and is to come, we offer you our gifts of bread and wine and ourselves a living sacrifice. Pour out your Spirit upon these gifts, that they may be the body and blood of Christ. Breathe your Spirit over the whole earth and make us your new creation, the body of Christ given for the world you have made. In the fullness of time, bring us with all your saints from every tribe and language and people and nation to feast at the banquet prepared from the foundation of the world. Through Christ and with Christ and in Christ, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, to you be honor, glory, and praise forever and ever. Amen.
And now, as our Savior Christ has taught us, we are bold to say,
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Alleluia. Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us.
Therefore, let us keep the feast. Alleluia.
The gifts of God for the people of God.
Take them in remembrance that Christ died for you, and feed on him in your hearts by faith with thanksgiving.
Let us pray. Eternal God, Heavenly Father, you have graciously accepted us as living members of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, and you have fed us with spiritual food in the sacrament of his body and blood. Send us now into the world in peace, and grant us strength and courage to love and serve you with gladness and singleness of heart, through Christ our Lord. Amen.
Please be seated.
Alan has been on quite a journey with us. Alan was baptized here and confirmed here, and now he's going off to graduate school in Rochester, New York. In addition, while on that spiritual journey, Alan has reached a decision that he's been reflecting on and working on for most of his life, which is to transition from being Alexis to Alan. And so we know transitions are hard no matter what kind of life transition we're going through. And we also like to pray for our young folks who are going off to graduate school. And so we're going to pray for Alan. Let us pray. The rest of you put your hands on shoulders, arms. There we go. Alan, may the one who blessed our ancestors, Sarah, Rebecca, Rachel, Leah, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Mary the God-bearer, Mary Magdalene, Peter, and Paul, and all the saints, bless you as you enter into this new chapter of your life. The world was not formed by a single act. Each and every day, God renews the work of creation. May God grant you the strength to constantly engage this divine renewal through the power of the Holy Spirit. May you open your heart and mind to continuous growth, unexpected change, and the perpetual, unsettling, liberating expansion of life in the risen Christ. And the blessing of God, renewer of the world, Christ, the creative Word made flesh, and the Holy Spirit, sanctifier of all, be upon you throughout this journey. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding. Keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. The blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be amongst us and remain with us forever. Amen.
in peace to love and serve the Lord, because there is no lemonade on the lawn, and you'll have to get your own popcorn.